Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and God bless you on today. Amen. Praise God. You're listening to Apostle Loretta Williams, and we're coming to you today with Shalom, Health, and Wellness, the lives we save, knowing emergency procedures and first aid, and this is part two. In today's lesson topic, we want to talk about what would you do if someone was having a stroke or a heart attack. What are the signs to watch for? What supplies should you have in your home, workplace, local church, or in your personal possession for preventive health care? These are just some of the things that we should know by learning emergency procedures and first aid. The best preventive measure is to always have a first aid kit with adequate supplies and a guide or manual for emergencies in your home, workplace, church, or ministry in public view that is accessible when needed. I want to talk about that right now for a few minutes, amen, because it's very, very, very important. We need to always make sure, even if you get a small container or a box, but you need to make sure that you have emergency supplies, gauze, Band-Aid, amen, praise God, a small pair of scissors, hand sanitizer, amen, praise God, ointments for infection is really good. Also, amen, praise God. And just as we begin to go through some a thermometer for taking temperatures, amen, praise God, a lot of things that we take for granted, and then when an emergency happens, we find we don't have it. Cotton balls should be in there, amen, praise God. And these are just some of the items. And you don't have to have a lot of large items, but in your home, you should have some small items in your first aid kit. And as you learn more and you gather more information, you can also go to the library and you can get books regarding on first aid. I have a first aid textbook from the Red Cross that I'm reading from, and also the American Heart Association. So it's really, really good that you have these things. Now, you might say, well, why do I need cotton balls? Well, I've had to deal with nosebleeds in the past. Amen, praise God. And it's really good if you always, you know, most ladies, we keep cotton balls for doing our nails and our feet, but they're also essential. You can put them up in the nasal passages to stop a nose bleeding. And usually if my mother used to put a little peroxide on the cotton ball and then, amen, push it up the nose just slightly, and it would fizz, but it didn't sting, and it would stop my nosebleed. So that's just some of the things that you could do. And you want the antibiotic to cleanse. You need to have bacterial wipes so that when there's a scrape or a wound, you can easily have something to cleanse it, especially a lot of times when you're don't have any water available. And that's why it's always good to have handy wipes, hand sanitizer, and then, amen, something that is disposable that you can cleanse the wipe with, such as gauze or even using, again, the cotton ball or a cotton swab. So those are just some of the things that you really need to have around the house in a particular area where people can find it immediately. Now, when you're traveling and in the car, amen, you should also have a first aid box or a little bag, amen. It doesn't have to be big, but a little bag, amen, praise God, with Band-Aids, because, you know, if you have family, you have children or grandchildren, they're liable to scrape their knee, amen, or get injured. And you want to always have some hand sanitizer again, amen, praise God, and Band-Aids and other things that you can use. So before you have to go to the store, it's right there, amen, praise God. And you keep it in the car, small pair of scissors, gauze, these types of things that will be essential just to help you until you can get to emergency care. Now, today we want to talk more in detail about what do you do if someone is having a heart attack. And again, I want my information has come from the American Heart Association, and it's a very, very good book about dealing with emergency cardiac care. We hope that no one has to deal with this particular incident, but it's always good to be prepared in case you do. And, you know, and what are some of the signs that you want to look for in case somebody is having a heart attack or they're having a stroke? You want to know what it is
what you should be doing. Now, first of all, if you are susceptible to heart attack, amen, praise God, then one of the things I know, unless you have an allergy to aspirin, is that you should always have some aspirin in your purse, in your car, amen, praise God, in your home. This has been a known fact, for many doctors have prescribed aspirin as a preventive for heart attack. So, amen, praise God, unless you have a reaction to it, that's a good thing for you to keep around to help you with anything that may be causing you to go into a heart attack or respiratory problem. Now, I want to start reading here. We went into CPR techniques, which is cardiopulmonary resuscitation. We talked about that on last week, making sure that if the person has something obstructing their respiratory, that they're laying down, that you're able to make sure that they're breathing, and then also how to breathe into the person's mouth, different things that you can do, which is the CPR, chest compression, and maintaining the person, make sure they have good blood flow. So those are some things that you can look into. It's always good to know how to do CPR for adults as well as for children. And if you didn't listen to that on last week, make sure that you take the time to do so. All right. So, and then we want to, you know, it's different also between if the person may be conscious or the person may not be conscious. So you want to also make sure that you're doing the correct procedure. And I would really suggest years ago when I was pastoring in Michigan, I had some of my young people and some of my pastor's aide to take CPR classes so that if someone got sick or something happened, they had some knowledge of emergency care, and that was for the church. You know, a lot of times, especially in some of our churches, there's no air conditioning in the summer, and then people already have respiratory problems, asthma, you know, and they may be prone to a shortage of breath, especially when, you know, it's hot and you get to praising the Lord. And a lot of times we just don't use the wisdom that we need with being properly prepared. And then you have to call. What do you do in the meantime when you call in the ambulance? It's not just enough to fan that individual. One thing, you need to give them some air to breathe. Anytime someone is up under a physical attack, you need to get them where they are able, not surrounded, where they can't get proper air ventilation. Even if you can, it's not always good to move the individual. That's another thing. You have to be careful with moving people that are injured because you could do further damage. What you need to do is move the people that are around them so that they can have space, and then also clear some space for any type of emergency care, such as the ambulance workers or those that are going to be assisting those individuals. You know, spectators are not going to be helping if they're in the way and they are blocking passage to that person's recovery. So always keep a clear passage and then try to make that person as comfortable as possible. If you can put a pillow or something directly up under their head, you know, if they're breathing and able to talk to you, ask them where they hurt, what are they feeling. If they're having shortages of breath, you may even try to do some hand signals so that they don't lose their breath while they're trying to talk. these are just some of the things that we could do. Always seek to get professional help. And let me say this to the men and women of God. Amen. Praise God. I do believe in prayer. I know prayer works. Amen. Praise God. And I've seen a lot of things happen in church during my lifetime. But anytime someone is having a physical affliction and it is manifesting itself, whether it's a heart attack, a stroke, an asthma attack, amen, praise God, needs emergency care, amen. Pray for them and call someone, their physician, their doctor, ER, amen. Never take matters into your own hands. If the person is not conscious, amen, the leader or a responsible adult needs to make the decision, not just to sit there and look at the person and pray over them, but to have someone call 911 and let them know what condition the person is in. And condition being not conscious, are they not conscious? Are they on the floor? Amen. Were they injured? Amen. Learn as much as possible if they have a family member around. Amen. Ask questions. Have they been sick? Amen. Praise God. And then look for any known signs of a physical affliction that identifies what the problem may be, such as a bracelet. Amen. Praise God. A lot of times they may have information in their wallet, who the doctor is, emergency care information, next of kin information. You got to use wisdom, people, when you're dealing with emergency care. Amen. Praise God. Don't take it upon yourself to just make a decision without thoroughly, quickly, amen, thinking what needs to be done for the best interest of that individual. If you're dealing with a minor, you need to immediately find the individual that is responsible for that minor, their legal guardian, next of kin, or parent. And also, while you're doing that, put someone in charge of calling for a medical assistance, or is it quicker for you to get the child to the emergency care or the hospital? Another thing, can the child or the person be moved? If the injuries are going to be sustained or it's worse, amen, then you may have to consider whether or not emergency care can get to you and where you're at. And make sure you give a precise address before you get on the mobile phone, your cell phone, or landline. Make sure you have the correct address. Amen. Describe the building, the name of the building, the apartment number. Amen. Praise God. So that that rescue team can come directly to you. And here's something else. Stay calm. You can't help anybody if you are not calm. If you're more upset than the individual that you're trying to help, you can do more damage than good, and you can upset them as well as their family. So not only do we need to stay calm, but we also need to help that person, that individual that is dealing with whatever sickness or affliction. We want them to stay calm. And that I would tell you to have someone, you know, an older child or family member, you know, speaking to them softly, getting whatever information you need. Where is the pain? You know, praise God. Did you take any medication? That's something the doctor will want to know. Have you had any medication? What did you eat earlier today? These are just some of the things that are very important that we need to get information from. So I want to talk a little bit more. I was looking here. I lost my page. Excuse me. And I was want to get more into about the heart attack and stroke. Amen. What do you do? What should we do when we see these things happening? So I'm going to go to how to recognize a heart attack first. And it says here from the American Red Cross, Chest discomfort in the most common side of a heart is the most common sign of a heart attack. It usually has the following characteristics: uncomfortable pressure, squeezing, fullness, tightness, or pain. Where? In the center of the chest, behind the breastbone. It may spread to either shoulder, neck, lower jaw, or either arm. And how long will it last? It usually lasts longer than 2 minutes, and the pain can come and go. Other signs of a heart attack may include any or all of these signs: sweating, nausea, shortness of breath, being weak, not able to stand. Number three, how many patients do not have any of these typical signs? Well, some people may not show any of these signs, and the pain may not be severe. The person may not look poorly or have any symptoms, but generally they will be having sharp stabbing, short twinges of pain, and that may or may not be the signs of a heart attack, okay, because usually the pain will last 2 minutes or longer. A lot of people may even be in denial, thinking that they're not having a heart attack, but it's really better to be safe than sorry. They may have never had a heart attack. They may have just gone through some type of trauma, and that could also be attributed, or there could be some blockage that have taken place to the heart valves or arteries. And always make sure that you try to find out whether or not that person has a pacemaker or any type of device that has been put in the body or assisting the heart. That's information that you really need to have, okay? And what do you do for the victim? Be a heart saver. If you're with someone who is having any of these symptoms, first thing you want to do is get the victim to be quiet and calm. And we've talked about this. It's very important that, you know, you don't get excited and you don't have people that are yelling and screaming and panicking, because that just adds to the problem. You want to have a quiet, peaceful atmosphere, and you want to allow the person space so that they won't have any problems being able to breathe. And you don't need a lot of people gathered around. You know, try, if the crowd starts gathering and you're outside in public, have someone send and get help, and then ask someone to help you to keep individuals away from the victim unless they are assisting you. The victim should be allowed to assume the position that gives them the most comfort. If they start having severe pains laying down, then let them sit up. Whatever is going to make them comfortable and make it easier for them to breathe, okay? Ask them, do they have nitroglycerin tablets or a spray, amen? And it is to be the nitroglycerin tablets or spray under the tongue, or an ointment placed in the skin may relieve the pain. These are just some of the, I know I had a male relative that was taking nitroglycerin, and it dilates the coronary arteries, which increases the blood flow to the heart, and it lowers blood pressure, and it dilates the veins, which decreases the work of the heart, and the heart muscles need for oxygen. So people with high blood pressure may also be given nitroglycerin by their doctor. It should be given to the victim sitting or lying down, and it usually produces a stinging sensation under the tongue, and it can cause headaches, okay? So that's something that you can do to help the individual. And here's some other things. If there's a person with unknown coronary heart disease, you need to stop all activity and cause them to sit or lay down. And after 2 minutes, see if the pain still is persistent. If they are known to have a heart problem, amen, again, stop all activity and then ask them where their tablets are, their nitroglycerin tablets, or any prescription that the doctor may have been giving them or they may have been taking, okay? Some people may be in denial as what's going on, but it's better for you to just, amen, get them to calm down and then get them to emergency care as quickly as possible or call for an ambulance. The warning signs of a stroke, amen, may bring on conditions that require rescue breathing, external chest compressors, or both. Laypersons and healthcare providers should know the early warning signs of stroke. And this is why I'm telling, amen, pastors and ministers and elders, you need to take a CPR class or first aid class, not only for your family, but you can be in church so many times. I've seen it and I've heard of people having heart attacks and strokes right in the church of God. Do not start blaming the devil. It's a physical ailment they're being afflicted with. And, you know, I know, thanks to God, they panic, they start screaming, amen, praise God. And that's not what that person needs. They don't need somebody throwing oil all over them or grabbing their head and trying to cast the devil out. I want you to be real here, okay? This is a physical ailment that needs to be treated medically. And you can have people praying for them, but you make sure that somebody is assisting this individual to get the help they need. And they can experience sudden weakness, numbness in the face, the arm, the leg, or just on one side of the body, loss of speech, trouble speaking or understanding speech, unexplained dizziness, unsteadiness, or sudden falls, dimness, loss of vision, particularly in one eye, or loss of consciousness. These are just some of the warning signs, and they may be temporary, not permanent, but they usually are signs that are signaling something is taking place in that individual's body, and it could be a stroke. So you want to make sure, especially for people over 55 years old, amen, praise God. Men have are greater at risk than women, and black Americans also have a greater risk of having strokes than most other ethnic groups. I hope this has helped you on today, and again, please take the time to get some information from the American Red Cross that you need that can save lives and be emergency care.